Dignity Health here, official healthcare provider of the San Francisco Giants. Winning is always a team sport, powered by great, dedicated fans. When everyone is all in, magic happens at the ballpark. When it comes to healthcare, the Dignity Health team at Dominican Hospital is all in too. Every day, the healthcare professionals at Dominican Hospital in Santa Cruz are ready to deliver exceptional, compassionate care to you and your family. Dignity Health. Hello, human kindness.
Welcome back to Talkin' Baseball with Bill Lasky on a beautiful 4th of July. And my guest today is from Livermore, California. Of course, he was a teammate of mine at San Francisco Giants, a two-time All-Star, a National League Cy Young winner in 1989. Let's welcome in Mark Davis. Mark, how are you?
All right, Tree, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for joining me on a Monday, 4th of July. Are you doing anything? Did you do anything this weekend? You got anything planned, or is it still baseball mode with Kansas City?
It's still baseball mode with Kansas City. We're playing our games and enjoying the heat in the Arizona sun.
Well, I tell you what, it's got to be hot down there. Of course, you're the Kansas City coordinator for pitching, and you're down in Arizona. The draft coming up, is this something that you're preparing for as well as the Royals?
Well, in the last few years, obviously, we've restructured a little bit. And basically what my role is now is I'm here in Arizona, and I work with our pitchers in Arizona. So I'm just taking care of that. And yeah, I know it's an extensive deal with the draft, obviously, you know, a little bit later date than it has been in the past traditionally. And I think that they've obviously incorporated that with the Major League All-Star game. So I think that what's going on now is a little bit bigger deal than maybe what it was before, even though it's still drafting amateur players.
Well, I wanted to get into what happened in 1989. Of course, you were the National League Cy Young winner with the San Diego Padres, and I want to talk a little bit about that year first before we get into the anniversary that happened in July 5th, 1987. In 1989, the numbers really were just outstanding. You were 4-3 with a 1.85 earned run average, 44 saves in 70 games, 65 games finished. As a closer in that role, Mark, mental side and physical side, how was that in trying to more or less compete every day knowing that you were going to close that game with the lead for the Padres?
Well, I think the team, we played well, so there was a lot of close games to come into. And I think anything that you do, when you do it quite a bit, you get a little bit more comfortable in the situation. So it's a comfort zone, I think, with anybody once you do something and you do it multiple times. I equate it like when as a hitter, if you never see high velocity, then you're not acclimated to be ready to hit it. The more times you see something, the more comfortable you get with it. It becomes a little bit business as usual, and I think that's exactly what it was for me in the season. I started off pitching well, and then there was just so many situations during the year to be able to come into a save situation. So it just became what I did 3 or 4 times a week.
You know, Mark, we have a lot of listeners that are pitchers, young kids, college kids, high school. When you warm up, and was there something in your, you know, repetition that you did all the time? Like, did you throw 10 fastballs and then throw your curveball? What were some of the things you did in that warm-up process before you got in that game?
Well, it was different depending on the game situation, how quickly the game would go into another situation as far as the game could be closer. There could be a left-handed hitter that got up a little bit quicker than what we thought. So sometimes you have a few throws to throw, then you're in the game, and sometimes you have a little bit more time. So basically all I wanted to do when I got up and got ready to get into a game was just get my fastball ready. Once I threw a few fastballs, I was ready to go pitch in the game because you had eight warm-up pitches on the field. And the mound in the bullpen is sometimes different than the mound on the field, so you still have to acclimate to that mound. So once I felt like my arm was loose, which to me didn't take very many throws, you would go in, and if I threw 2 breaking balls on the field, then I was ready. So it was a little bit more of how quickly do I need to get ready, and you adjust to it.
So when you talk breaking ball, of course, you had the devastating curveball, the 12-6 curveball. Was it difficult to throw that at different speeds? Did you change speeds on it, or did you just throw at the same speed to try to get that same, you know, curve break to it, the sharpness at the end?
Well, what I tried to do was I tried to throw it the same velocity every time. I wanted the same pitch, so I knew once I got a feel for the release point, I wasn't trying to throw it slower or harder. So nothing changed for me except the trajectory. Sometimes I would try to flatten it out to get a little bit different break, but I was still trying to throw it with the same effort. I feel like the consistency of location is the consistency of effort, and I feel like every pitch you throw in games should be thrown with the same effort. Once you get to feel where you need to release that pitch, then that just stays through the game. The count dictates whether I throw a ball in more in the strike zone or more on the edges. So it's that was my consistency. And I know there were other pitchers that could throw that get me over curveball. I just never could do it.
You know, you're a pitching coordinator for many years with the Kansas City Royals, and one of the biggest things that's happening is control for pitchers. A lot of guys are walking a lot of guys. A lot of guys are just throwing extremely hard to get that high velocity. What are some of the things you teach your pitchers as they're young kids coming up through the organization on trying to keep control, trying to get ahead of hitters, trying to hit the glove? Some of the things you teach them.
Well, I do know that one of our points of emphasis is first pitch strikes and the 1-1 count. If you can win the first pitch strike and win the 1-1 count, you're putting yourself in positive situations. And that's what our whole goals are, and that's what we focus around here at our rookie level. We want those guys to come in and throw strike one. And then if they get to a 1-1 count, then that 1-1 count then becomes almost like a first pitch strike. So you try to always pitch in the positive counts. That way you have all your options available for you to throw. And that's our goal organizationally, and that's our goal, especially in the lower minor leagues. That's where you're learning to be more repetitive with your delivery, and you get comfortable with throwing the ball in the strike zone.
Mark, one of the things that I'm noticing, there are more kids throwing out of the stretch, not from the windup. Is that just because they want to just relax? Is that a mode where they have less things to maneuver and less movement with their body? What is the reason why they're doing that?
Well, I think when you go back to when we pitched, the windup was you faced the target square on, and the when you were in the set position, you turned sideways, and now you were at a different position, and there were very clear differences. Now a lot of the windups are a hybrid stretch, so you really can't tell if they're coming set to throw from the stretch or throw from the windup. And I think that's the thing for me is coming out of the bullpen, you know, to me, I call it your money pitch. When you need to make pitches to get big outs, you usually do it with runners on. So I tend to have our relievers. What I would like to see us do and anybody do is you're going to throw from the stretch and hone your skills repetitively from the stretch. There are a little bit less to do from the stretch, but I also think that you can gain rhythm from the windup. So there's two trains of thought. I do know that if I was going to be good at one or the other, I want to be good from the stretch, because you know anytime somebody's on, you're always pitching from the stretch. So you can't guarantee windup time. You could throw one hitter and all of a sudden now you're in the stretch. So I feel like if you can be proficient from the stretch, you can navigate through a game. And I feel like that is the most important thing to do, is be able to make pitches to get outs in tough situations.
Mark Davis joining me a few more minutes on Talking Baseball. Well, tomorrow, July 5th, 1987, a large trade happened between the San Francisco Giants and the San Diego Padres. Mark Davis, you were part of it, along with Mark Grant, Chris Brown, and Keith Comstock, coming from San Francisco to San Diego. And San Diego got back from San Francisco Dave Dravecki, Craig Lefferts, and Kevin Mitchell. You remember that trade? How did you feel? And what was it like going to a new organization?
Well, there had been discussions in the paper and in the media that obviously trade rumors with my name. So it was one of those things that you were aware of it, but kind of died down. And then we were in Chicago, got a call to get a hold of Al Rosen. And when I did, he basically said, you know, we've made a move and you're going to the San Diego Padres. And, you know, I think the deal obviously worked for me, and it worked for the organization with San Francisco going to the playoff that year. So I was on a plane the next morning with Keith Comstock to meet the team in Montreal. And then we turned right around after that day game and came back to Chicago. And we started our Padres career at that point in time.
Yeah, and at first you weren't the closer, more or less middle relief, maybe spots starting here and there. How was that and learning a new process with the Padres? And then finally they made you a closer and you ended up being the closer, of course, in 88 and 89. Of course, your 89 year was just phenomenal. Was there a lot of changes in the point of where am I going to fit in this pitching rotation or bullpen?
Well, I don't know how, if you look at this, fortunately or unfortunately, I never made a start with the Padres. I was in the bullpen and stayed there. And Goose Gossage was our closer. And I was the left-handed guy that pitched in front of Goose. Lance McCullers was the right-hander. And then when Goose left, Lance and I kind of shared the role. And then eventually I got more and more opportunities to pitch in that role. And then 89, I basically was the closer. So it was more go down to the bullpen and pitch when they called your name. And at that point in time, most guys didn't throw just one inning. So you needed to be ready. Pretty much the later guys needed to be ready in the sixth inning on.
Well, I researched the five finalists or four finalists in the National League Cy Young winner in 1989. Oral Hershiser was fourth with 15-15 with a 2.3. Greg Maddux was 19-12 with a 2.9. And Mike Scott was 20-10 with a 3.1. And Mark Davis, you were the winner. And that had to have been a pretty cool reward when you got it.
Yeah, you know, it was exciting to be able to be just mentioned with those guys, and then actually to get the nod and win the award was a thrilling experience for me, and I think a lot of it had to do with us pitching or us playing games late in the year where we were vying for the division, and we got eliminated. I think three games left in the season, so there was a lot of close games that meant a lot. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to pitch in those games.
Final thoughts, Mark, when you look at the trade and you look how successful you became, was it a good move that the Giants moved you? Were you happy with the whole thing, how it translated? And, of course, your career ended with 96 saves, a very good career for yourself.
You know, I think at that time I wanted to do the best I could do anytime I was put into a game. You know, I feel like a lot of times you can get – you know, more, I guess, selfish would be the word, or just consumed with what everything revolves around you. And I felt like at one point when I was still with the Giants, I made a pact with myself, and I just thought, if I go out and pitch the best I can each day that they ask me to go out there, they'll want me to pitch again. So I was looking at more, once the game started, I was in the bullpen ready to go whenever that would be, whether it was in the first inning, ninth inning, or anywhere in between. Whatever the score was, I felt like my job was to go out and get the first guy out I faced and pitch until they wanted to make a move. And I felt like once I started to do that, I felt like I was a more consistent pitcher. So I never really thought about getting traded, or I just wanted to go that day and do what I was capable of doing to help the team that day. And then I got traded to San Diego, and I tried to do the same thing there.
Well, Mark Davis, thanks again for joining us on a 4th of July. Hopefully you and your family will enjoy the fireworks tonight. And again, it's always great catching up with you, Mark.
Thanks, Tree. I appreciate it.
All right. That was Mark Davis on Talking Baseball. More coming up here with Marty Leary, Carey Crowley, and myself on KNBR, the sports leader.
Dignity Health here, official health care provider of the San Francisco Giants. Winning is a team sport powered by great dedicated fans. When everyone is all in, magic happens. When it comes to healthcare, the Dignity Health team at Sequoia Hospital is all in too. Every day, the healthcare professionals at Sequoia Hospital in Redwood City are ready to deliver exceptional, compassionate care to you and your family. Dignity Health. Hello, human kindness.